T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Doug Williams' performance in Super Bowl 22 is what dreams are made of.
Play action fake. Williams going up top. Got Sanders on the fly. Midfield. He's gone. The 30, the 20, the 15, the 10. Touchdown, Washington Redskins.
It was a performance that you could make a movie about. Nobody believe it.
Williams, the pass, lobs it up. He's got Clark at the goal line. He's got it.
This was just a backup guy. And then he comes in and he does that? That was remarkable.
That's why he was the Super Bowl MVP, passing for 340 yards, 4 touchdowns, a single quarter record, which he set in the second to win the game, becoming the first African-American quarterback to win a Super Bowl. And that just scratches the surface of how impressive a football player former quarterback Doug Williams was. And he is our guest here on the Mully and Haw Show. Doug joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Zach Zaidman, Ron Coomer, and 85 Bear Tom Thayer is with us. And before we get to the football conversation, Doug, let's get your best Tom Thayer story, because I know you've got a lot of dirt on Tom.
Tom didn't leave a lot of dirt. Let me be honest with you. Tom was as smooth as silk, man. If he had any dirt, he was hiding it. I can promise you that.
No, you know, I met Doug Williams when I was 23 years old, and I was on the verge of trying to forge a path that he had already created in the NFL, but he came to the USFL and played with us a couple years. You know, Doug, as much as friends we are, I've always thought of you as a mentor. And a couple weeks ago, I read a story about a text message exchange that you had with your son. And it's this, you know what, something is, Doug, you've always gave me, always gave us young guys and the growth of the USFL words of encouragement, inspiration, and education. Is that the same approach that you take with your son, or are we in a different category, us young players that were trying to become Doug Williams, are we in a different category than the advice you give your son? Not the topic, but about the advice you give him.
Tom, you know, I try not to discriminate. I don't care who it is, where they're from or what have you. I think the most important thing that I was able to do is to be honest and tell them that everything is not going to be easy and what you have to do in order to be successful in what you want to do. And I did the same thing with my son that I've done with younger teammates. You know, I got guys now like Timmy Smith and played together in the Super Bowl. He called me now and he called me Pop. You know, because before he started that Super Bowl, I gave him a good old preaching to. And to this day, you know, he remembered that. And I think at the end of the day, that's what we all should do, especially if you've been around for a while, is take the younger guys and be honest with them and tell them what you're up against and what you have to do in order to be successful. And for you, Tom, you know, it's amazing, man. Like the other day when you know, when I got the text message from you, all I can think about, I can't even fathom when we became friends. It just happened. That goes to show you don't pick your friends. Friends happen. And you and I had a great bond, and I never forget that. And that's why when you text me, I had your name in my phone. You had my number that popped up. I said, wow, Tom, man. And I couldn't wait to get back to you and be here this morning on the radio with you. It's for me, it's a blessing.
You know, Doug, you have a resume in sports and business that very few people can match. But then I go back and I think about your college career and being mentored by a guy like Eddie Robinson, one of the most high-profile coaches in the history of football. In terms of your afterlife in football, your coaching, your front office work, what inspiration did Eddie Robinson give you as a young man who was still being influenced into the path you're going to choose?
Well, you know, Coach Rob, and it sticks for me today, when I first started coaching, I coached high school, I coached college, and I'll tell everybody, I had an opportunity to coach against one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL history, and that was Peyton Manning. I was coaching my old high school, and we played against Peyton when he was at Newman High School. And I always tell him all the time, Coach Rob used to always tell us, no man is too good or great to coach the American youth. And that always stuck with me, that the most important thing, I don't care what you do in life, man. You can be a lawyer, you can be a judge, you can be a teacher. I don't care what you do. There ain't nothing like going in the locker room when you got 40 to 50 young guys. And you that trying to motivate them, let them know that whatever you think you want to do in life, you can do it. And you can do it out here on the football field. It's nothing like going in that room. I don't care how you cut it up. And a lot of people would love to have been in those positions. And I've been in those positions. And that's a great feeling to know. When I go back home and I see a lot of guys that I coached at Grambling, man, what makes me feel good when I see them, they married, they got kids, they got jobs, they doing well. I would say to myself, I think it's something I said along the way, hopefully, that helped them to be in that position.
Doug Williams is our guest here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Doug, we are living in a very unique climate where the pandemic, the economic situation that's taking place in this country, and the social unrest that has occurred as well. In these times, from a sports standpoint, we are seeing an unprecedented number of athletes, high-profile athletes, lending their voice to the cause. And you saw it in the NFL specifically with that video that some of the most important players in the league put together, including the reigning Super Bowl MVP, Patrick Mahomes. And it led to change. You saw immediately Roger Goodell create his own video, and we're seeing some major changes in the way business is done in the NFL. Why do you think it's happening now? What do you think changed that created this situation?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, I'm old enough to have been around doing the first civil rights movement back in 65 and 66, 78, you know, and I look at this movement, it's so much different because back then, if a white person was marching with blacks back then, you might not find them no more. You know, it was more of a scary time. You know, they were putting the dogs on you, they put a water hose. But to watch this movement today is so diverse, and it's so many young white and blacks and Latinos, and everybody's out there marching for the same cause. And I know, you know, usually on TV you see burning buildings, you see people doing, but that's a small, minute part of what's going on. Show the masses, you know, and when you look at it, you see the young people out there. To me, that's the turn on about this whole thing, because I'm thinking, in my mind, I always say this, racism is homeschooled. It's because when kids go to school, man, when you see these young kids, white, black, Latino, in the same school system with a young age, they don't understand no color. They don't understand I'm supposed to be better than you and things like it's taught. It's a taught thing. I always say some things are caught and some things are taught. To me, racism is taught, and it's unfortunate that at this stage of our 2020 that we can't get this right. And I think it's important that we find a way to try to meet each other and realize that we all here. It's a common cause. We all bleed red. We all feel like we're going to get a chance to go to heaven. And I'm sure, I don't know anything about heaven, but I'm sure it's not segregated. And I think when we look at it from that standpoint, we ought to be able to get along.
We're talking with our guest, Doug Williams, former Super Bowl winning quarterback, former teammate of mine in the USFL. Doug, in the article I was reading, you said that economics of the games gives these guys a voice, and I believe that to be true also. In, you know, you've always been a mentor to me and the young guys. Would you have been more outspoken if we weren't affected by the economics for us were different than they are in today's game?
There's no doubt about that, Tom. Let me tell you a short story. When I was a rookie in Tampa, and I was on the sideline, you know, 1978, there wasn't a whole lot of African-American coaches in the National Football League. And I was asked the question after the game, what was I doing on the sideline during the national anthem? And I answered them honestly. And I said to them, I said, I was counting to see how many black coaches was on the other sideline. Because I know at Tampa, we only had one. And you got to understand, I went to Grambling Historical Black Institution. Everybody I played against, all the coaches was black. All the players was black. So I'm looking over there to see how many black coaches was over there. And I tell you what, I came to work the next morning, that Monday morning, and Coach McKay called me in his office, and I walked in his office, and here's the editor of the Tampa Tribune, Tom McEwen, bless his soul. And he flat out told me that I cannot make those kind of statements. And I was confused. I'm trying to figure out what did I really say. But the idea of being the only one of the only black quarterbacks in the league, being in Tampa, which is deep, deep south, and he was telling me that the fans would not accept me making those kind of statements. And today, these guys could say basically whatever they want to do whatever they want to do, because economically, if a team cuts you, the team going to suffer because of the salary cap and a whole lot of other stuff. So it's a different time for these guys. So they give them the platform and the right and all the other things that they need to go out and protest.
Doug, I'm interested in finding out in this landscape of the National Football League, based on what you just said, how do you think the NFL should go about making the game more diverse from a coaching and a front office standpoint?
It's easy. That's easy. But it's the people. You got 32 entities. And regardless of what anybody say, you know, I read a lot of stuff when people say qualification. You know, you look at this league, how many coaches have been fired that are white? How many coaches that have been recycled that are white? How many personnel guys that go from one team to the other that are white? It's a buddy-buddy system. But at the end of the day, the owners have to take ownership until the owners get involved. Because now, most of this thing in the NFL now is agent-driven. Because if you got an agent who's the head coach, 9 out of 10, the general manager probably got the same agent. And that's what has happened. So at that juncture, you locking minorities out of the business. Until the owners stand up and say, look, I want more diversity in my organization. And don't tell me about what a guy can't do. We just finished a quarterback summit we call it the quarterback summit, but we had a lot of coaches in there last week, last Monday and Tuesday. And when you think about some of the coaches that took plays from Leslie Frazier, Raheem Morris, Hugh Jackson, Marvin Lewis, Coach Jim Caldwell, Pep Hamilton, and we had Burrell, we had all those people in there. You know, Caldwell got fired with a 9-7 record. You know, I mean, you look at that, he was a winner. You got guys who can coach. It's about an opportunity. It's not about whether or not he's qualified, more or less. But if you don't know a guy can coach, but you got too much nepotism going on, I don't have no problem with a coach. You know, if he's coaching, if his son is a coach, and his son is a pretty good guy, I got no problem. My problem stands from when there's a coach who got a buddy, who got a son, who got a cousin that you want to bring in. Now, that's a problem to me. When you look at a lot of more people who are qualified, and all they're looking for is an opportunity, and I think that's where we are. It's all about the ownership.
Hey, Doug, Go ahead, Ron.
Doug, you just named off, you know, the who's who of coaching, and it has no relevance of their abilities speak for themselves. I've got to know Leslie Frazier in Minnesota, when I was playing there or broadcasting there, and what he brought to the table was something that was as good as anybody in the league. I just, you know, there's got to be opportunity for people, to your point, Doug. It's a shame in our games, in all of our leagues, that opportunity is not given, because you're talking about some people that have every qualification in the world. They just need opportunity.
Yeah, I know, but that's why I say it's an ownership driven, and it's unfortunate. You know, what you hear is, well, the interview didn't go well. The key here is how many people of color, of diversity, that was in on that interview. See, that's the key too. Who doing the interview? You know, don't tell me you got a search firm looking for a coach. Why would you have to have a search firm to look for a coach, man? That's your organization. You sit in there. Get somebody in your organization. Get somebody that you know of color to sit in there with you. It's about leadership. It's not about, be honest with you, the head coaches today, it's not so much about the X's and the O's as much as managing all the Joes and the building and the player. Yeah, you got to know football, but you got to make sure you know people. And I think that's the most important thing. And that's what people lose, because they get a bunch of guys that, because they're buddies or what have you, you bring them in there and they can't manage because of what? They don't know how, because I just got a bunch of guys that I brought in because somebody told me they wanted me to give them a job.
All right, we're here with Doug Williams, NFL quarterback. But, you know, Doug, I kind of changing the path is, when I looked at Doug Williams, 6'6", 240 pounds, I'm surprised that you played quarterback throughout your entire time. But now you've had the unique perspective to look at Dwayne Haskins and Jameis Winston and their similarities and their differences. They're big guys like you. What is Dwayne, I loved him coming out of college, Doug. I thought he was one of the best quarterbacks coming out. What is their path? What is their road to success from it? What do you encourage them to do as quarterbacks in the NFL?
I'm going to go back to something I said earlier. You know, some things are taught and some things are caught. Quarterbacking to me is leadership. You are the CEO. And as the CEO goes, that's how the business goes. If you can't come in and manage the locker room, I don't care what kind of abilities that you have, you've got to be able to put it all together. All the successful guys, you watch them. You know, there's two things. They manage the players, but they also manage on the field. And quarterbacks got to kind of separate themselves from the rest of the guys. Not say alienate yourself, separate. That's a difference. And when I say separate, that's going to be times when things are going on outside of football with all your friends. You can't partake in them. Because why? You are the leader. You got to go do something else. You can't be the last one in the building and the first one out the building. You're the coach. On Sunday, you just like the coach. You got to tell him what you think you can do or what you can do. I think you got to be able to take the bull by the horn as a quarterback and lead. You know, and you mentioned Dwayne, you mentioned Jameis, both of them talented, all I know. You know, and I know both of them pretty well. Dwayne, talent is coming out the roof. Now, you know, people don't give him a chance because, wow, he didn't do this well last year. Sometimes it all depends on whose hands you put the quarterback in. Because that quarterback need to be able to communicate with whoever he's spending a lot of time with. And the communication not just is in the meet room, that's outside the room, because that might be some personal issue going on with these guys that they need somebody to talk to that can share what they're going through and talk them through it. So there's a lot of things involved in being that guy.
The start of this piece, the introduction about what you were able to accomplish in that Super Bowl, and whoever it was, I don't know, they said, Doug Williams, a backup quarterback, comes in and has this type of performance. Doug, you were never a backup quarterback, and you never had the mentality of a backup quarterback. How do you keep that same attitude from seeping into Jameis throughout his initial experience in the NFL, or how do you keep that from sinking into Dwayne at this point in his young career?
Well, I think if they got any kind of mentality like I had, and you're right, I've heard those backup quarterbacks. Well, you know what? I have no problem with people saying that. I know who I was. I've never been a backup quarterback. It just so happened I got caught in a situation. I ended up coming to a team who had a young starter. I was the backup. Mentally, I never thought of that. I always say to myself, I'm the starter. And you got to prepare yourself like that. I think if Jameis put himself in that position as the starter, and if his opportunity comes, he can prove that. But you got to think that way. Even if you're not playing, you got to think that way. And I think Dwayne coming into here as our starter, he got to put his mind and say, hey, I don't care who they bring in here, this is my team. And that's the mentality that you have to have. When I came to Washington in 86 as the backup, I threw one pass in 1986. But you know what? That was a starter pass in my mind. And winning the 87. And that's how you got to look at it. You can't look at it where I'm just going to resign myself as a backup. Now, there are lifetime backups who have never gotten the ball coming out the dugout on the first pitch. You know, but they're good at that. And you say that. A lot of those become what? Head coaches in the National Football League. Why? Because they're on the sideline, and they're given those opportunities. So if you're the backup, that's fine. Learn as much as you can. But if you want to play and you have been a starter, don't think like a backup. Think like the starter.
You know, that kind of carries me forward because, you know, in Chicago here, we're going to have a quarterback battle between Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky. But then mm-hmm. you look at what's going on in New England, and Cam Newton's coming in there to be the starter. With your experiences, what's more difficult, is going there and digest the entire system as Cam Newton and get ready, or getting prepared for a shortened preseason in a quarterback battle? Which one would you like to be involved in?
For me, you know, if I was in Chicago, the guy that was already there, it wouldn't be a battle. It'd be my job in my mind, all right? I started there. New England has a different situation, I think. Nobody up there has been a starter. So bring in a ringing MVP, guy went to the Super Bowl, and you got a coach who's going to make adjustments to what he got. So I think when you look at it from that standpoint, the Cam situation is so much easier than the one, I think, in my opinion, in Chicago, simply because you got a Super Bowl guy who won a Super Bowl, and you got a young guy who's still growing. But the young guy got to be strong mentally to realize that, you know what, I'm not giving up my job, and it's going to be up to him to keep his job.
Our final few moments here with Doug Williams on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Doug, this has come up a lot over the last few years, but yesterday in particular, I'm sure you heard what FedEx did, sending a letter to your former team saying, quote, "We have communicated to the team in Washington our request that they change the team name." What do you think is going to happen when it comes to the name of the team in Washington ultimately?
You know, don't really know. I look at this thing, man, and a lot of people have called me and asked me about it. But this is how I view it. As an employee, you don't have no say-so what happens. And I think at the end of the day, it has to be the ownership, whether or not it's the minority ownership, the majority ownership. They have to put their heads together and make that decision. We as employees, we got to follow their lead. You know, so at the end of the day, you know, people won't players to talk up and say, I think it's unfair to put players in that position. They're employees. And at the end of the day, and I know you might have big name players that you want to step out there and say something, but I think it's unfair. I think the only somebody who could stand up and say something, actually, you know, what the Nike and the FedEx did, that's their business side of it. But I think from the ownership side of it, It's in Mr. Snyder's hand and his partners to make that decision. I think that's the only fair way to do it.
My last question here. This week, Joe Bugle passed away. And when you talk about the leadership, the group that is equally as important as the receivers, the running back, what Tim Smith was able to do in the Super Bowl, Joe Bugle passed away, one of the greatest offensive line coaches in the history of the league. What type of impression did he leave on you, or what type of impression did he leave on the offensive lineman that he coached?
Well, let me say, I was fortunate, number one, that we had a veteran offensive line that had been here for a while, and you know, I was in my down in my latter years, and my mobility wasn't what it used to be, and Joe Bugle used to always tell the offensive line, he called me Stud, and he'd say, guys, he'd say, Stud going to be standing right here. It's your job to protect me. And when I think about going in those meetings on Wednesday morning and Thursday, you know, that was nothing that Joe Gill put on the board from a pass and a run standing point that we was going to take into the game if we couldn't find a way to block everybody. And you're always going to have somebody open from a blocking standpoint, but Joe Bugle was the guy that made sure from a passing standpoint that we had everybody pick up and running standpoint. That's who Joe Bugle was. And he was a little guy, man, standing in that huddle. Wasn't afraid to call out anybody. And no matter whether or not Russ Grimm, Jake Jacoby Martin made, it didn't matter. Jeff Bostic, he'd call him out. But when he called him out, he'd walk up to him and he'd tell him, say, hey, you know I love you, don't you? You know, that's motivation. At the same time, you're hugging him and let him know, hey, you can do better than that. So, yeah, we lost a soldier. And without Joe Bugle, I don't know whether we as an organization would have been able to win the three Super Bowls that we did.
High praise from yep. Doug Williams, a Super Bowl MVP in his own right. Before we say goodbye here, give me your impressions now that you've had a little bit of time to work alongside our good friend, the former Bear, Ron Rivera, who's the new head coach in Washington.
You know, Ron, you know, I had an opportunity to play against Ron. You know, Ron is probably one of the most down-to-earth, nice individual that I've seen as a coach. You know, he just, every time you see him, he's the same, the meter is the same. The temperature does not change. And it's hard for people that work for him and play for him not to want to be around Ron, because that's who he is. And since he's been in here, you know, we text each other. I got a chance to talk real talk to him, no matter what it's about. I had opportunity, you know, tell him how things that I've seen and around the building, and he asked me questions about individuals. So Ron is, I think, here at the right time in the right place. And he got something to work with, and hopefully we can get on the right path.
Great football player, a great businessman, but you're a better man. And we appreciate you taking the time out. And it's a big thrill for when I do get a chance to see you and I do get a chance to talk to you, and appreciate it. Best of holidays to you and your family, and hopefully we see each other on the football field soon.
Doug, great having you on our show, man. What you said about influencing young kids, that's awesome. Really good.
All right, appreciate you. Tom, take care of yourself, man.
Thank you, Doug.
Doug Williams spending some time, some very interesting thoughts. He had a lot to say, and we're going to react to that when we come back. Ron Coomer's along, so's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. We're in for Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The opening bell is brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto. The Dow finished up 92 points yesterday. NASDAQ up 53 and S&P 500 rose 14 points. Alongside Ron Coomer and Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. We're in for Mully and Haw until 9 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Coom, we just had a chance to spend a long time chatting with Doug Williams. What an impressive figure. You can tell right away there's certain guys Once they start talking, they command the room because of their presence, and Doug Williams is that kind of person.
Boy, there's no doubt. When you start talking about people who should be leading in their sport, could you think of anybody that's more fitting than him? In all that he has gone through in his life to be a college high school player, college player, a great NFL player with unbelievable success at the highest level of the game that you could have. And then, you know, when he talks about the impact that his college coach, Coach Robinson, had, and then what his feeling is of how you go around and work with young kids. It's just, you know, our sports all need leaders like people like Doug, because they can just, they change the whole complexity of what we do. They're just as special people. And just listening to him, it's the first time I've got had a chance to listen to him talk, you know, with one of his buddies like Tom. I texted you when we went off the air. Just absolutely impressive person. And, you know, you hope guys like that can be out in front of the game for the NFL, or guys like that can be out in front of the game for Major League Baseball, because the impact they can make on the young people in our world here, you know, you just can't put a price tag on that.
Hey, Coom, I want to ask you a question about the influences of your locker room as a young man. So when I get introduced to a professional locker room, things change a lot, because now you're 21, 22 years old, and there's guys there could be 30, 35 years old. So I came out to practice one time, and I didn't have knee pads on because I saw some of the veteran guys didn't have them on either. So Doug called me over, and he said, Tom, why don't you have your knee pads in? And I said, well, I saw the other guys weren't wearing. He goes, Tom, you're going in a different direction than a lot of these guys. You're a young man on the cusp of your career. I suggest that you go in, you put your knee pads in, and you wear them out here every day to practice. You don't want something silly to happen to you just because you were influenced by the other ways guys were getting prepared. He didn't have to do it. He stepped out of his comfort box and told me that and gave me a lesson that I didn't solicit, but I dedicated myself to that the rest of my career. Is there a guy in the baseball locker rooms as you were a young man that would step out of bounds and try to tell you the right things to do rather than you just looking at maybe the way not to do things, but you still did them?
Well, really quickly, my first locker mate in the big leagues was Kirby Puckett from Chicago. And Puck was a two-time World Series champ. I get to the big leagues and I'm lockered next to him, and he's like the Pied Piper. Everywhere he goes, people followed Puck in Minneapolis. But where it was the influence on the field was watching him and him inviting me. You know, he would always call me kid. Hey, kid, you know, because when I introduced myself to him the very first day in Cleveland, when I got traded to the Twins, I said, how you doing, Kirby? You know, he goes, I'm not Kirby, I'm Puck. Everybody calls me Puck. I go, okay, Puck. And he goes, where are you from, kid? And he kind of knew, and I said, well, I'm from the south side of Chicago. He goes, no. I'm from the south side of Chicago. You're from somewhere around there. And I went, okay. But the thing that he did, Tommy, was, you know, he'd be hitting off the tee way before we would ever take the field and doing things. And he'd say, hey, kid, come here. And he'd put you on the tee. And all of a sudden, you're getting this Hall of Fame instruction from this guy who's playing at the highest level of our game. And he's like, no, I saw yesterday you were doing, you know, your elbow's flying or some little piece of something that he saw. And he goes, no, try this. This is what helps me. And all of a sudden, you start clicking in to things that were helping you play at that level. And he was just, he was giving, he was hilarious, but he was one of the best players in the game. And he would do anything for anybody at any time, including take, you know, as a rookie, he took me out in New York, in Manhattan, my first time ever there, and said I had to carry his bag, first of all, for the whole road trip. Was the hazing, which was hilarious, you know, but you do it, right? It's Puck. You drop the bag and you got this, right? I go, Yes, sir. I got it. We get to Manhattan and we get in. I go to his suite in Grand Central Hyatt. And he goes, tomorrow morning, you meet me down in the lobby at 11. I go, okay. We meet him at 11. He takes me into this limo. We go about 8 blocks down the road in Manhattan. And he takes me to this shop, this clothing store. And he bought me suits, head to toe, everything. And he goes, kid, if you tell anybody that I took you here today, you're done. I'll never speak to you again. He wanted no praise, no nothing for anything that he did, but he was the ultimate big league guy and big league player and great person, and that was Puck. And he just influenced our whole team on a regular basis that way.
So what'd you get? What kind of suits? I mean, spill the beans.
I picked out, you know, like every kid would do that didn't have one. I picked out a black suit that would go with everything, right? And he looked at me, he goes, you going to a funeral? And he made me pay. So I had a blue one, pinstripes, yeah, shoes. And the other thing that was really impressive that as a young kid from where we grew up that I didn't know you could do is when I got back to the hotel that night after the game, all three of my suits, shoes, everything was tailored. The shirts were tailored. And they were in my closet at the Grand Central Hyatt, and I'm thinking, how in the hell did he do that? How did he get, you know, everything's like tailored, done, and sitting in there in plastic, and I thought, see, now that's a big leaguer, and I'm, you know, hanging out in Lockport, and, you know, I don't have them capabilities. I just didn't.
Well, that's a different lifestyle than most people can relate to, but what it shows is if you put in the work, there's some great things that can happen, and clearly you put in the work over the course of your career. I do want to get to something very interesting because there were so many major things that we discussed with Doug Williams, but Tom briefly mentioned the quarterback competition that's taking place this summer between Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles. And as soon as you mentioned it to Doug Williams, Tom, the first thing he said was, well, my mentality would be there is not going to be a competition. It's going to be my job. And the veteran quarterback is Nick Foles. And that's basically what Doug Williams was saying, is that if I'm Nick Foles, there's no way I'm losing a competition to Mitchell Trubisky. You kind of have to have that mentality heading into this thing, don't
you? Well, I was shocked at the introduction when you introduced Doug, that the announcer said that this guy's a backup and look at what he's doing here in the Super Bowl, because Doug has never had that mentality from the second I met him and from every game I stood in the huddle with him. But it's also the same approach I want Nick Foles to have. I'm still in the Mitchell Trubisky camp, but anybody that the Bears sign, including Robert Quinn, including Trey Roberson out of the Canadian League, I want these guys coming in here and saying, I'm here to be a starter. I'm here to put that jersey on week one of the regular season and go out there for the first snap. So I agree with Doug. I agree that that's got to be the mentality Nick Foles comes in here with. But I also think it increases the, not necessarily the pressure, but the work commitment to Mitchell Trubisky. Because it's something, you don't want to give a player that you're competing against a lot of incentive by what you said. It's got to be decided on the field by performance.
Well, and it's absolutely correct. Well, if you want, you want your quarterbacks to be leaders, like Doug was talking about. To me, that's the only way he was successful in that Super Bowl, getting put in that situation, is because he was ready for it. And I really believe that, too. I think these two guys going into camp, and all the other guys you mentioned, too, Tommy, if you don't think you could be the starter, why are you even trying? I can't comprehend that idea of not having that thing about you as a leader of a team going, I am the guy. When I get my opportunity, I'm the guy, period. And we're going to win because of me and what I do on the field. If you don't have that kind of mentality, I don't know how you could survive in the NFL.
Got to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll continue this topic. Plus, we'll look ahead to day one of workouts on the north side. Ron Coomer will be there. What's he looking for when the Cubs finally take the field for the first time since baseball resumed activities? That's next. We're in for Mully and Haw, Zach Zaidman, Ron Coomer, Tom Thayer with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Special treat tonight on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Beginning at 5 o'clock, we will replay in its entirety Game 7 of the 2016 World Series. I think it's Pat and Ron's best work in the history of their broadcasting careers, because it's the moment that will live on forever, a moment that you can never take back. And everyone remembers exactly where they were when they watched the final out of the 2016 World Series. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Ron Coomer with you. Our final few moments here filling in for Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I want to thank our executive producer, Sean Anderson, who helped us blast through the speakers of your radio. So, Coom, day one of workouts on the North Side in what will begin a season unlike any other in Major League Baseball history.
Yeah, it sure will be. You know, we were talking earlier about things you look for. You know what? I can't wait to get in our booth today, Zach, and look down at Wrigley Field and see the ivy in the field. And, you know, last week the grounds crew, who do an incredible job, were getting the field prepared. I can't wait to see batting practice and the crack of the bat and seeing guys hitting balls out onto the street. And just the work that goes around preparing for big league season again. Just can't wait to get to Wrigley and do that today. And then, you know, just get to be around, you know, the best we can of some of our guys. You know, we're going to be separate, you know, and we're going to have to stay in our booth. But just to get some interaction with baseball again. And I think it's going to be great for me because I'm really missing it. But I think it's going to be great to hear about actual stuff going on with our teams and being able to report it. So I'm looking forward to it and getting back to Wrigley today.
Tom, you've got just a few weeks before this quarterback battle really begins with the Bears.
Yeah, well, I think baseball will be the indicator of maybe if football can even advance going forward. So I just pray and hope the best for the country. And again, we're talking specifically about baseball, so still the same thoughts are you know, positive about, you know, hopefully everything going well.
Yeah, please try to be as safe as possible. Wear a mask, wash your hands often, pay attention to social distancing, because if we do those things, man, oh man, beginning in late July, from a sports standpoint, it could be a lot of fun because everyone's going to get going in some fashion. Guys, speaking of fun, I had a lot of fun working with you guys today. What a blast. We talked to Peter Gammons. We talked to Paul Molitor. We talked to Doug Williams. And we talked to you. Coom, thank you so much. Tom, thank you so much. Happy 4th of July. Mark Rohde is next. I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening. So long from the Mully and Haw Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
If it is to be said, so it is.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.